I wonder what your natural posture of prayer is. What's your natural posture? Are you somebody who loves to simply sit and you've got a favourite comfy chair and that's where you pray, which is okay until it's a really comfy chair and actually you spend your time with God sleeping, which sometimes we need, but maybe it's sitting, maybe it's standing. Actually, for you to stand and to pray, that's your posture of prayer. I spent some time in the church in Romania, and one of the things that they did is they would sit to sing and they would stand to pray. Or maybe it's kneeling. Maybe for you it's that posture of coming before God in humility and saying, "You are Lord. And on my knees, I acknowledge that you are God." Maybe it's walking. And actually, it's as you're out in creation, that's when your conversation with God flows. I found this lovely picture of prayer. There's a great posture of prayer there. But anyway. But this morning, we are with Hannah. And Hannah's posture of prayer is on her knees in desperation, laid out before God. She might even have been lying down before God, and she's in a place of agony and heartbrokenness. Today we see the rawness of prayer. Hannah is on her annual trip to the festival with all the family. And she's heartbroken. The pain for her of having no children is intensified by the cruel treatment of the other wife who constantly provokes and torments. It will have been intensified by a culture that gave you value as a woman if you had children. And she is filled with an emptiness and a despair. And she's unable to see in that place the good things around her. So did you notice it says she cannot eat? She can't be with those around her. She escapes, as it were, as quickly as she can to be on her own. Her husband, trying to help, I want to think the best of Elkanah, trying to help, says, Hannah, you've got me. Now, we might say, that's not very sensitive, is it? You know, look, aren't I wonderful? But actually, he's trying to say, look, you have people who love you, Hannah, in front of you. But in her heartbrokenness, she can't engage with them. She can't receive his amazing gift that he gives to her of a double portion of the gifts that they give. She can't receive it. She's overwhelmed with her heartbrokenness. She's consumed with what she doesn't have. And she goes into the temple and weeps before the Lord. She allows her emotion to come out. Often in those moments of anguish, we often don't know what to say. And sometimes people say to me, I'm so mixed up and I'm so confused and maybe I'm so angry, I cannot form the words. I think Hannah was in that place. And in those moments, we can still pray. Because we don't need the words to be right. And we don't need sentences to be formed in the right order. We come as we are into the presence of God. It's about being real. Tears are a way of praying. Often, when only tears are falling, and a number of people have said to me over the last couple of weeks, when I come to prayer, all I can do is cry. That's a gift, as our tears come before God. And there's a verse in the psalm that speaks of how he catches our tears. He hears our grief. At times, we come into the presence of God. As any, as a parent knows, when a child starts to babble, we don't kind of criticize them. You haven't said that quite right. Or those words aren't in the right order. You're just delighted that they've spoken, that they've tried to make connections. We've started church on Friday, which is a joy for preschoolers and their carers and parents. And a little one toddled in on Friday morning, and I opened the door, and he said, "Nanny!" And I thought, I'm not ready to be nanny yet. But the thing was, it was such a joy. And his mum said, "You do look a bit like her. You do look a bit like her." I thought, thank you. Anyway, I was nanny for the rest of the morning as he followed me around. But it was a joy. He was trying to communicate. God just loves it when we try to communicate. C.S. Lewis said, "The prayer preceding all prayers is, may it be the real I who speaks. May it be the real thou I speak to. May it be the real I who speaks. May it be the real thou I speak to." If you want a different quote from somebody different, if you're a U2 fan, Bono used to say, "You cannot come before God with sunglasses on." Which is quite a thing to say from someone who always wore his sunglasses. But before God, he took them off. We need to be real, who we are, for God knows us and he longs for us to be real. We see some of this reality in prayer coming out in the Psalms. When we read the book of Psalms, we see in there every emotion coming before God. We see fear, we see anxiety, we see heartbrokenness, we see anger coming into the presence of God. Too often, I feel we feel like we have to say the right thing. And God says, "No, I want you to come into my presence and be real." Hannah is praying silently before the Lord. And she must have prayed on many occasions, but here she is again, persistent in prayer. And she's saying, she's praying in such a way that she kind of tears, I can imagine the tears are flowing, and she's before the Lord and her lips are moving and no sound is coming out. She's totally unaware of those around her. But Eli, the priest, comes. And he makes a judgment that she must be drunk. I wonder, how often do we hold back because we're nervous about what the people around us think? What are they going to think if I raise my hands in praise, or if I suddenly decide I need to kneel before God, or if the tears begin to flow, or if I stop singing because actually I just need to be silent before God? And we're worried about what other people think around us. And it holds us back from being the real I before God. I wonder sometimes, when people come back from festivals like Spring Harvest or New Wine, or they've been to a big event and they say, "It was amazing." And I listen to them and think, "Yeah, but you did exactly what we want to do at various points." And they say, "I had this great encounter with God," for which we rejoice. But sometimes I think it's because in those big crowds, when we don't know lots of people around us, we just go for it. We're not afraid to let our emotions out. We're not afraid to be real because we think, "Well, it's okay, people don't know me around. They won't think anything." And our concern for what's going on around us becomes less. We focus on God and then we meet with him. God calls us to that week by week, week by week, to that encounter with him day by day. Doesn't have to be loud and extravagant. Hannah is silent. And neither is it about wallowing in our grief. Neither is it about the focus being about all about me and how I feel. No, in each of the Psalms, they're addressed to God. But it's me bringing them to him. I look to him And I say, this is what's going on, and this is where I'm at, and this is how it feels. I wonder how much we need to let go of what others think to allow ourselves to be communicating with God, who longs for us to communicate. Eli says to Hannah, how long will you make a drunken spectacle of yourself? Hannah, and the temptation, I imagine, would have been to be quite cross at that moment, but she says, I am a woman deeply troubled. She shares where she's at with him. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've been pouring out my heart before the Lord. Don't regard your servant as an unworthy woman, for I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation all this time. She shares it with him, and that enables him to come alongside her, to join her in prayer, and say, I will pray with you. And I pray that God will hear your cry. Sometimes in those moments of anxiety, in those moments of heartbrokenness, when our emotions are all over the place, the temptation is to push others away just at the point when we need them to come alongside us and pray with us in it. Hannah then leaves. Now, the thing about this verse is that it says, and I'm going to read it, so I read it right. Verse 18. Hannah says, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. She went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Now, what amazes me about that verse is that at this point, Hannah's prayer hadn't been answered. That's why I got us to finish the reading at that point. We don't know at that moment. Hannah didn't know whether God was going to do what she was asking for or not. Her circumstances were still exactly the same at that moment. But through praying, she is able to re-engage with life. She's able to go and join her family and eat with them. And it says her face was no longer downcast. In the older translation, it says her countenance. I love that word, her countenance. In other words, she could lift up her head and face the day again. Nothing had changed at that moment in her circumstances. And yet, everything had changed because she'd met with God in that place of prayer and anguish. Saint Augustine said this, when we cry to the Lord from the depths, he heareth our cry, and the very cry itself suffereth us to move from the bottom. The very act of bringing that anguish to God enables Hannah to know he's with her in it, and she can walk forward. Now, those who've read the rest of the chapter know that God does hear her prayer and answers and gives her the gift of a son, but that's another service. That's another conversation about the miracle-making God. Actually, at this moment, Hannah is in that place of heartbrokenness. And so often when we read our Bibles, I think we race on to get to the bit where God answers or things change. And quite often, those who are praying in the Bible, like us, are praying for a long time in situations where they don't hear the answer they long for from God. But in that place of prayer, they meet with the living God. What does Hannah do? Let's just look at these five things. In that place of brokenness, she seeks God. And she is real before him. Tears. can be anger, frustration. But she directs them to God. She's not put off by the people around her. Her focus is her need to be real with God. She doesn't become grasping. Why do I say that? Well, part of Hannah's prayer, we hear that she says, if I receive this gift, I will give this child to you, God. I want to be open. It's not about trying to get what I can for me. I want to be able to serve you. I want to be able to keep offering to you. And then she allows Eli to come alongside her, even though he says the wrong thing. And the truth is that actually sometimes the people around us do say the wrong things because they don't know what to say. They want to say something. You know, if you're in you're in a heartbreak situation and people come to you and they're so trying to say the right thing that they say exactly the wrong thing. You've been in that situation? But not pushing them away. Acknowledging that we all sometimes, in the very act of trying to say the right thing, say the wrong thing. But not pushing them away, allowing them to come alongside us, to pray with us in those moments. And as we do that, what is it that changes? What is it enables us to lift our heads and to face tomorrow, that enables us to walk through the situations that might change or might not, because we live in a world that's in between the now and the not yet. Yes, Jesus has broken through for us, but he hasn't returned when all suffering and pain and brokenness will be over. We live in a world where there is pain and there are long seasons where prayers feel like we don't get the answer that we long for. In the letter to the Philippians, St. Paul, when he's writing about prayer, says this verse: "The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The Lord is near. In those moments, we can feel like we are abandoned. We can feel like God is not listening. And actually, it's as we come and say, "I will pour this out," that we're reminded God is near. Hannah knew his presence. And as we bring those worries, Hannah says to Eli, "I am filled with anxiety." As we bring them before God, so that peace which passes understanding can begin to fill us again, to equip us, to engage with what we do have around us, and to be able to know God walking with us into whatever tomorrow faces. How real will we let ourselves be in prayer? How real. Because it's as we allow ourselves to be real with the God who is real that he meets us and equips us. Let's just be still and quiet before God. I want to give us just a bit of quiet. So often we race on to the next thing. A bit of stillness in the presence of God, who knows us and invites each one of us to draw near.